Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today's April 9th, 2019.
Opening day, and they're losing, I think.
We were down 5-4 last time I checked.
Well, it was 6-5 at the end of the 8th.
Oh, boy.
So it's the 9th inning. That's it.
This was the first year I actually completely missed the flyover. And how did you miss that? Because it's always brutally loud. And I was waiting to go to class. Usually I hear it, and I didn't hear it at all. Maybe it came from a different place this time. I don't know. How to say. Actually, April 9th is also an anniversary of sorts for me. Because this is the day I did my PhD thesis defense.
Wow, you remember that, huh?
Well, it was in 1990.
That's
like
29
years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And you passed with flying colors?
You know, the thing about PhDs and thesis defenses is, as Dan Kahn in the mathematics department at MIT once said, it's really, these are just working papers. You know, anybody who's a grad, and this is my advice to graduate students everywhere, don't put so much of your personal emotional self into your thesis.
Because it's just one step. I mean, do it because you want to
do a good job. But the thing is, ultimately, it really is just your ticket to working in the outside world.
Right.
And, you know, and having, you know, finding job security or just jobs, period.
And they expect more from you after that.
So the thing is, there are a lot of contexts where if you don't have that degree, they won't even entertain the possibility of you working. Right. I actually was teaching at Wellesley College before I got my degree because they needed a leave replacement. And I had won awards for conspicuously effective teaching. But really, it's just working papers when you get right down to it.
Well, you got them.
Got them. Yeah. So anyway, last week, just mentioned a couple of things that were coming up. I thought we'd mention a couple of, this is almost like report backs in a way.
Well, for you, yeah.
Right. So one, there was on this past Sunday, a couple of days ago, there was a friend of mine and a videographer, Roger Hakobian, did a video production probably about 10 years ago, actually. It was called Destination Watertown. And really, it's an interesting kind of a personal history of the Hood Rubber Company that was like the mainstay of East Watertown for many,
many
years.
He's Hakobian. Is he Armenian?
He is very much Armenian.
So that's part of the whole Watertown
thing. He has done video productions about his family and Armenian history.
Because it's a big Armenian community in Watertown.
Yeah, but the thing is, part of the reason for that was the Hood Rubber Company.
Ah.
And it was a job, and there were people, when people were fleeing the genocide in Europe, they came to places like Worcester, Baltimore, and Watertown. Actually, Lynn for
where
a while.
There was a factory in Watertown?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was East Arlington. If you go across from where the Arsenal Mall is.
East Arlington, not Watertown.
I meant to say East Watertown.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Relatively close to Cambridge, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this dominant place. There was something like, I forget how many buildings they had, maybe 30 buildings.
What is there? Is it
well, for the longest time, it was all leveled. Now, a lot of things are being built in those spaces.
Okay, so it's kind of an industrial area along that whole
It was a
corridor.
Very much. Now there's some housing in there. There's still some vacant places out there, to be sure. I didn't know the whole history of it, and it was great. But anyway, the reason I mention it is that, you can actually watch it on, you just...
YouTube, you can
Google... Destination Watertown, and you'll find the YouTube video, and it's a great production.
It's also on your site. You have a link to it.
Yeah, I got a link in there. But it's about an hour long, and it was great. And it's really about the people. And it was, for me, it was really engrossing.
1969, it lasted a long time.
It lasted a very, very long time.
Wow.
And one of the real joys about going to a showing as opposed to just watching on a video is the people who came there included people
that were
who had
involved,
worked
family.
In the factory,
yeah,
people who
nice.
Had family. I was sitting next to an elderly woman who, when somebody came up on the screen in the video, they said, and they remembered because she was really kind of sad because she had passed away last year, whatever.
Yeah, that
These are the most delightful people. They were the most hardworking, struggling people.
Dying breed, though.
Really a dying breed. We've tended to replace them with people who feel a little entitled sometimes. Yeah. But these are people whose family, they may have lost half of their family in genocide.
Yeah.
They came there, they worked, they went to school and then went to work, right? They didn't have any time at all. And the stories they told, and to a person, every one of them said, this was the best life, these were the best years of my life. It was actually really inspiring.
Well, there was community. There was, a all guaranteed community. Paycheck. I mean, although I'm sure there was, must have been hard too. I mean, was it a benevolent,
very hard.
Benevolent owner? Who knows?
They actually provided medical care, but largely because they needed, if somebody got injured, they wanted them to continue working, so they had to patch them up. So
when it's called the Hood Rubber, is it anything to do with Hood Milk?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with it.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, we used to wear PF Flyer sneakers.
Yeah.
That's when they made the PF Flyers.
Wow.
You know, and anyways.
But I wonder if Hood, the family itself, must.
There was a. Something they actually gave a little bit of the genealogy of the two brothers. There was one great, like a father who had two children who started.
Uh-huh.
They had been in the company, in the production work, and then they started their own company, and it was two brothers.
But they weren't Armenian.
No, they were not. In
but
fact,
they hired.
It wasn't all Armenians that worked in the Hood Rubber Company.
There were
Irish people, Italian people, people from all over. But the thing is, the Armenians really, really, really they created a whole community, because this was really, and there was this act of chain migration where people, one person came
family,
over, they had a job, there's work here, please come over here, and then more people followed.
That's how it was around the country, I
think. Yeah, oh yeah. So, but it was a great story, and it's really kind of local. Here, and I really appreciated seeing it.
Yeah.
Actually, one delightful thing is one person I know who's the head of the Cambridge Historical Commission for years, he's now retired, is a guy named Bill King. And sure enough, there was Bill King. It turns out he's the grandson of one of the Hoods that started the company.
Oh, wow.
He was on the technical side. He'd been a chemical engineer. And there was Bill King. My goodness.
Wow.
You know, so it was great. A lot of good connections.
Yeah, nice.
And really, really, really nice being around some of the people.
Is this a new film or is this?
It's about, he made it about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
So he's just re-showing it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's just sort of basically getting the word around there. So he's done multiple showings in various places and it's always very, very well received when he does it. Now, I think I was going to go right after that. I was going to go to some forum that they had in Leslie
sponsored
University.
Sponsored by the Harvard Square Neighborhood Association?
It was either
Susan Blier's group.
Well, there's also this, they're spawned off this new entity they're calling Livable Cambridge.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Sponsored by Livable Cambridge, the consortium of local neighborhood groups, hosted by the Fresh Pond Residents Alliance, though.
Right.
So, but it was all those players.
Together.
Harvard Square.
Right. And the title was The Market or the People, Which Does Our City Serve?
Right.
But I think it was primarily trying to go to the, and I don't want to go over on about overlay district business this week, but that was kind of what spurred the...
Yeah, well, they had a presentation by Yona Freemark, who is at MIT, a doctoral candidate in urban studies, and he just presented some facts on... He's looked at Chicago and he's looked at another city. I mean, obviously Chicago is. But in Chicago, they did a similar thing, only it was it wasn't geared towards affordable housing. It was all market driven. So they've taken over where transit is. And upzoning. In other words, the whole thing was upzoning.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot more embracing of
up to a half a mile
in the sense of densification close to transit.
Right.
And even people I know who were the downzoning people have largely sort of come around to being okay with having greater density around transit.
Right. Well, that was a thing. But he said there's been actually few studies on the results of upzoning. And then there's the amenity effect. I don't know which. So.
One of the effects, if you had a place that was kind of a bit run down area.
Yeah. Well, Chicago.
Or parts of Boston too. City of Boston that are actually on transit lines, like Dudley Square. And if you put in, fancy new stuff, there's a good chance that that'll draw investment and then actually make people who normally wouldn't have wanted to live there want to live there.
Yeah, but then what happens, though, the question is to the people that can't afford then to live in those spaces. That's the problem. With this kind of development, had no, I don't know what their inclusionary rules are. It's not like ours, and it was also not, I mean, our overlay, the whole thing here is really specifically focused on affordable housing developers getting a break.
Right.
So, but they had the panel of neighborhood people, Chuck Hines, East Cambridge, who's lived in.
Yeah.
Doug Brown.
Fresh Pond Residence Alliance.
Javon Wheeler.
He's also a city council candidate.
Oh, yeah, so it is the same person.
More and more people who are...
Well, wait a minute. I might have been writing this down wrong. I don't think it was. I think I wrote that down. Because this guy works at the Lincoln Institute for Land Conservation. Isn't he MIT, Siobhan?
Yes.
He was a volunteer for Tennessee.
You're right about that.
No, so who knows? I don't know.
But one of the things I'm actually noticing, because it's actually there's a petition that's going down around East Cambridge regarding the courthouse.
That was all passed around there.
Yeah, I'm not going to sign it either.
I didn't either.
But the thing, not that I'm unsympathetic. If it's a 20, if it's a 20-hour process, you don't jump in the 19th hour and say.
But
it's
also, it's been vacant for so long, and I just want something done.
If there's a person who's basically saying, oh, no, you shouldn't give this to Leggett McCall to actually redo the redevelopment with 24 units of housing.
Yeah.
You should make the entire thing housing, whatever. But nobody is saying who's going to pay, because the truth is there's probably $30 million or more in asbestos abatement plus the whatever
so,
it turns out
so
to be a half
the,
a million
they want the
unit
city
to
buy,
build.
They already own it, don't they?
Well, the thing is, it's state property. They have
the agreement was already made a few weeks ago.
The DCAM, the assets management group for the state, basically said, okay, Leggett McCall is a chosen developer. But the truth is that until an actual development plan is settled, I don't know the title is transferred.
I see.
Completely.
I thought it was more around the parking. Well, it's more than you're right, because it's the parking issue as well as.
Well,
housing and all that, yeah.
I think some people are sort of dovetailing this into some other issues now, too, saying, well, instead of the overlay, gallery, why don't you just put a bunch of affordable housing here, whatever. But you know, if you just do the math, if it's costing you in the neighborhood of $500,000 per unit.
Somebody brought that up last night.
At the city council meeting,
right.
I think it was Mr. Sloming. But
right.
The thing is, if you actually look at the asbestos abatement cost plus the per unit cost, plus the ongoing maintenance of the property.
Forget it.
This makes no economic sense whatsoever.
No. They should do is try to negotiate issues around parking and all that stuff.
Right. The state basically has an interest in having the asbestos abatement done by giving somebody right to develop the property so that they can get enough return on the investment. That was really...
Is that one of the issues of rights remain vacant?
Yes,
very
much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I
bet half the people don't know that.
I think some of the people who are in the know down there are very aware of it.
Right, but a lot of people that just willingly sign things without knowing
that's
the whole issue.
I'm seeing that happening in a lot of places now.
I just won't do
that. You know, whether it's the overlay thing or this one here, where basically people who are not really aware of the full picture.
But because it's against them kind of thing, or it's market versus
It's sort of like
people.
Local populism gone crazy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of problematic. And, honestly, again, there's no new candidates that I know of this week.
Who's Ben Simon?
I think we mentioned him last week.
You're right.
Last week I was going to say what he's associated with. So there was this controversial problem with the EMF building in Cambridgeport. He's one of the musician occupants of the EMF building.
I couldn't get the association.
And he's been on the Council of Malins, this arts task force.
Okay.
So he's been a very, very outspoken advocate for, accommodating musicians and artists. But in a kind of a weird way, because he basically outright says he doesn't support funding for arts, but he does think that somehow the artists should just be given place to live and whatever because they're artists. And that's always been a problem because, if you say that artists or musicians are some sort of a protected class that must be specially accommodated because it's so important, then you can make the same argument about daycare providers,
teachers,
everybody. You name it, So that's always
difficult.
It's a very dangerous.
It would be nice to have artist spaces where they can work. Not necessarily live because that gets into a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But working co-op type things, and I don't see why some of these developers can't maybe incorporate that. They're talking about maker spaces and all that. Well, that could be done.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's possible, but...
And I wouldn't be shocked if in the next go-around in Central Square, some space actually is created for exactly that purpose. But the thing is don't just expect it to be free because you're righteous,
Well,
it's
they already have free permits.
Although
they do have to apply for one, which is good.
That's right.
Nicola Williams Williams, not Williams.
Right, actually.
She was there also and spoke.
At the forum.
She wasn't a panelist, but she spoke, and she's a candidate, right?
Yeah, and actually of the five candidates that I know of, I mean, I know that there are others who are going to be candidates, but the ones
who are on your list,
Yeah, there are five who basically have kind of put themselves out there and said, yes, we're going to be candidates, we're going to be running. I think it's actually further up.
Oh, further up.
So the thing is that of them, you know, for every pop kind of popularist issue, like whether it's the bike lane or this bicycle, what is it? What do they call it? They did this ordinance last night.
Cycling safety ordinance, which, right? But doesn't mention anything about safety, which Tim Toomey brought up. And,
So there are some real issues that should be discussed.
Yeah.
But the populist candidates, they say, I fully support this. I fully support that. Yeah. I fully support this overlay. I fully do this like that, you know. And it basically because they see people in the room.
Yeah.
And then they're playing to the crowd, you know. So, and I'd have to say that Nicola Williams was the only one who just basically was speaking somewhat independently.
She spoke last night?
No. But at the at that forum, she's a person who raised issues on the overlay, right? So she's speaking quite independently. So
yeah, I forget so what. Well, I don't remember exactly what she said.
Standing out on that. But all the others are just, oh, wonderful, wonderful. You know, so anyway, as you know, I'm
on the overlay? Oh, the candidates. Not that's separate thing. Okay.
I'm the bloom is off the rose in terms of the incumbents as far as I'm concerned. And I've been kind of looking and hoping that there would be some fresh new candidates who actually think somewhat independently. And honestly, so far, I'm just not really seeing it, you know. I'm just basically seeing, and actually I'm noticing that there was... what's his name? Javon, what's his name?
Sabrina Wheeler.
Yeah, so I noticed that him and Charles Franklin, either one was actually gave $35 to the other's campaign.
Oh, really?
So when I, you know, I'm just going to speculate and say that...
They're going to run together.
I think what you're going to have is sort of a Our Revolution group with Zondervan, some of these characters.
Maybe.
You know, Mike Connolly pulling the strings like a puppeteer, you know, from his little vantage point there. And then they're going to try and push that through as sort of a slate of candidates before all is said and done.
I mean, obviously, it's still early, right?
Right. So basically, you know, I mean, but as it stands right now, it's basically incumbents and a few more revolutionaries and then not a whole lot of other choice yet. Anyway, it's still April. We've got a ways to go, and we'll see how it sort of shakes out. So anyway, There were some things of some interest that happened at the city council meeting last night. Maybe we just sort of say, since we briefly talked about the bicycle infrastructure thing. You know, I haven't even written anything about it because it was such a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
The advocates have been sticking press releases all over creation, trying to get in the New York Times or Boston Globe or whatever.
Yeah, that will be the first.
Basically, you know, they're trying to mandate the creation of a... quote, fully protected network of, or network of...
Well, connected. A connected network on major streets or on... See, that's the confusion. I mean, there could be a minor street that has to be reconstructed. Does that mean it has to have a bike lane?
Yeah. Well, unless...
I thought it has to be...
Only if it's in the network plan.
And where is the network? Has that been
The bicycle network plan was an unofficial, aspirational document that was never actually official.
So we don't know which roads
and
those are?
In this ordinance, and this is such a hysterical flaw, and I think one of the councilors brought this up. They said, so in other words, and it says, so anytime you're reconstructing a street that's part of the current bicycle network plan, or any successive plan... It says nothing about being approved or vetted or anything. It just says any successive plan. So in other words, if some city staff says, well, let's just put another mark on this street here, so now it's part of the plan. Then by fiat, the ordinance says that if there's any work ever done on that street, it must have the protected bicycle infrastructure put in.
But I think they're going to tweak that, no?
Well,
did it go through?
It's ordained. Now it's ordained.
Okay, but there can be amendments, right?
Any municipal ordinance can be amended. Okay. Once you create an ordinance like this, anytime you try and amend it for the purpose of reasonability, or overreach, then people say, you can't touch it, you can't touch it.
Okay, so but are you saying there is actual map of these connected roads right now? I can see.
Yes.
Where is it?
It's on the CDD. It was basically the Kara Seiderman plan. And it basically...
Is it Mass Ave, Broadway, those places?
Broadway's not included.
It's not included.
Well, I'm kind of glad for that, but I think
I'm surprised.
I could speculate that it's because the emergency services vehicles, we have always used Broadway as the direct way to quickly get from like fire headquarters down Broadway. Believe
me,
I live on Broadway.
But what about buses that go on these other places?
Right, but the thing is so the buses, and that is a bit of a problem right now with even some of the infrastructure they're putting out now. But I think James Williamson, the sage of Jackson Place.
But he did, everything he said was pretty on point.
I have to say, James and I have not always been in agreement.
And this whole issue of.
Well, he was speaking up in favor of people who use buses and public transport. Public transportation. And in fact, he flat out said that some of the infrastructure they did down from Central Square toward the river by MIT, the buses have been slowed down and stopped, and there's been a lot more delays as a result of all these wonderful things, right? Yeah. So, you know, anyway, I don't like it when there's a taking away of flexibility from the people who are the professionals just because one lobby says you must do things a particular way. You know, for example, there's one model that's used a lot of other places in the world of like shared streets and slow streets.
Yeah.
In places like Medford, they have what they call bicycle boulevards, right? So it's not all protected, but it's like a real, it's a bicycle priority roads.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, under this ordinance says you're not allowed to consider these because it's got to be a particular type of improvement.
So maybe the city won't fix any roads anymore.
No, they got to have to do it anyway. You know, like River Street.
Yeah, but River Street is not going to be able to have, first of all, a raised. It just isn't. It's too small. It's not as big as Western Ave.
It's not as big as Western
Ave. It doesn't have parking on one side, which is true, but it has a firehouse. Right. It has fire, you know, and I live right across from there now, and it's just...
Mark my words. Yeah. By the time River Street reconstruction is done, they will have a protected bicycle facility.
Well, they're
going to
have something. Right now, there's no even signage.
But the thing is, if you try and do it right on the path on the same level as the road, by the time you stick in all the necessary obstructions and things,
That's a major bus cut.
Right. So I think the only way you make it work is you remove all the parking on all of River Street.
Oh, great.
Now, some people will be perfectly okay with that. Yeah. As another thing, just to sort of segue into another
item. There actually isn't a whole lot on that part, anyway.
One of the items they were talking about, there was a city council order, I think it was from Tim Toomey last night, talking about adding metered parking in some business districts where it doesn't currently exist.
Yeah.
Now, I personally think this was just Tim Toomey basically... you know, throwing a stone across to West Cambridge over to Huron Village and Jan Devereaux's neighborhood.
Why?
Because they don't have meters in their business district.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right? Mm-hmm. They also don't need meters in their... And Jan Devereaux came back and responded and says, well, you know, not every place actually has conflicts for parking because it's plentiful.
So but only for Cambridge... Oh, wait. Is it... Right. You don't need a permit there? Because there's sections of the city where you don't need a permit.
On the section where the businesses are, you don't need a permit.
Oh.
Right.
But is there a limit on how long you can park?
I think it's a 2-hour limit. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a decline
So I think that's what that was
that's
about.
That's reasonable.
But then Councillor Zondervan voted against this, and the reason was he doesn't think we should be adding any more parking to this city. If anything, we need to be removing it all.
Car storage.
Well, sometimes people who try and sound smart about this use the word storage rather than parking.
He used it a lot last night.
But the thing is, it was actually kind of pleasant that I think all other councillors or almost all of the councillors responded to Mr. Zondervan's, desire to eliminate parking whenever and wherever possible.
Mm.
I think it was Councillor Mallon was saying, well, maybe that's a nice future to dream of, but it's not there today.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, people do have to deliver goods. Not everybody's going to be going without a motor vehicle.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can't just wish everything away all the time because you're an idealistic zealot, you know?
Yeah, I'm just concerned because there's so little said. I mean, Craig Kelly said a little bit, where do trucks go? where do deliveries go? You can't do it all from 7 and 8 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes they're going to have to go on a bike lane. Sometimes they're going to a bus. You know, I just
I feel completely like agree just, with them on that.
Where do they think they're going to get their coffee? And their, I mean, it just seems insane to me that they're not doing the whole cycle.
I agree.
I'm using cycle in the wrong word. The loop. You got to look at the whole life cycle of things.
Yeah,
you
I mean, Counselor Kelly, who is the cyclingest
counselor who's ever lived. I know, he doesn't even own a car.
Right.
And he makes the most sense.
But he makes the most sense. He says, he says, look, you know, he's showing some adulthood here. He says, if you basically say that it is absolutely forbidden for somebody for briefly to stop in a bike lane in order to load some goods,
they're just gonna
then their option may be to be circling around and around the block. And it is exactly the turning movements at intersections that creates the greatest hazard for cyclists.
Plus so congestion and everything.
So he makes the completely correct point. He says
he's the only one that would make it.
He's the only one who had the bravery and the intelligence to make that point.
And pointing out, Tim Toomey about, you know, how come this doesn't include using lights? And I learned that you didn't have to have a helmet after age 16. I never knew that.
Yeah, that's true. I we generally, can't
I know you
I mean,
don't.
I bicycled for 35 years
but,
here. And
but
I
at night,
never,
you know, the thing
rarely
is,
use a helmet.
You can't really, at night, you're not, a policeman can't even catch someone on a cyclist going like that that doesn't have no lights. You know, it's just really hard.
Yeah, no,
it's just really hard.
The truth is that a cyclist in this city, protected lanes or not, if you ride around at night without lights, you're putting yourself in danger.
You're putting other people in danger.
And you're putting other people in danger, but you're primarily putting yourself in danger.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it, you're a fool. It's that simple.
You know, I just wish we could enforce that more. But,
know, the thing is you can do it, but the thing is there's just so much you can do with legislation and enforcement.
And especially you're expecting people to be educated. Half of them don't live in Cambridge because they're going through Cambridge. We're very, we go through this city.
Yeah,
but, cars and cyclists.
It is, it's interesting how oftentimes when people come to speak out about bicycle-related matters, they give it a Somerville address because, you know, there are parts, if you live in Davis Square, you got to pass through Cambridge, you go to work in Kendall Square.
But also the congestion, we see a lot of it of cars going from other places through our city.
Definitely. Anyway, there were some were some other interesting items last night.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the next half hour.
Yeah, so we'll get to that. One of the ones I particularly have a little fun with is the graduate students.
Oh, I know. I read your piece on that.
Yeah, so.
A lot of people came out for that one.
It's true. So anyway, back in a couple of minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Okay.